Today's reading is from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in the front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. When some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them, and when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home.' And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We have never seen anything like this.'" The word of God for the people of God.
It is so good to see you this morning. If I've not met you yet, my name is Mindy Moore, and I'm the campus pastor here at St. Luke's Midtown. And as you can see, today we're starting a brand new sermon series called Making Room. And this series is going to be 3 weeks that goes along with this capital campaign that, if you've been here a few weeks or you paid a little bit of attention during the announcements, you can see we're starting to really roll this out to our church. It's kind of interesting to me because I have been at St. Luke's for just a little bit over 10 years now. Midtown opened about 2 years ago, but I've been with St. Luke's for 10 years. And over those 10 years, I have watched us do some really cool improvements to our space. I watched the parking lot at the North Indy campus go from a bit of a situation to being a very nice traffic flow with some good barriers and safety measures put into place. I watched our great hall go from, you know, just kind of like a gym that people met in sometimes, to this amazing multimedia, multi-purpose meeting space. I mean, how many of you have been to the great hall at the North Indy campus? That space is incredible. And so I watched upgrades like that happen. I watched us open the Midtown campus. I watched us put things in place in this building to change it cosmetically, to update some technology, to get ready to open our second in-person site. So I watched all those things happen. And for the most part, those things were funded not by maybe an all-church push. They were different donations, or we sold a parsonage, things like that. But we're in this new season as St. Luke's, where we want to do some bigger things. We want to upgrade safety. We want to make room for more people. And so this is a moment when we get to come together as a whole church to support this work that we're going to be doing. So I want to invite you, we're going to watch a video. It's about 3 minutes long, but it's going to tell you a lot more about the vision and the mission behind this campaign. And then we're going to look together at this scripture that Avery read for us. So let's take a look at this video.
This building is open 7 days a week, often from 6:30 a.m. to almost 11:30 p.m. You have people in and out all the time. The Master Gardeners class is here. The Civic Women's Group is here. AA is here. 1,200 people join us online every month, and those people are growing in number in the ways we connect, and it is powerful community that's happening.
I know that we have a hard time finding room for everybody. And for me, that's a good problem to have.
Our diaper pantry is growing at an exponential rate. And it's not just diapers that we provide. We need space for our families to meet, to gather, to feel comfortable.
The Children's Ministry of St. Luke's is very important because our world is so different. And it's wonderful that the kids have a foundation.
So one of the things that me and my wife looked for was a church where we knew our daughter would be safe. That they could go, they could have this experience learning about God, but in a very safe environment.
If they have kids with special needs, where's a safe place where I can take my kid, where they can learn about Jesus, but an environment that suits them? Well, we've got that with our Mosaic. But we need more room in the inn, and so that's part of our capital campaign to make that happen.
So this idea is, how do we make room for more people to gather, more community service, more lives touched by hope, more lives transformed into service that empower and impact people in our community?
This capital campaign is a big campaign. We're looking for a lot of money, and it takes a lot of people. It's going to take a lot of commitment from the people at St. Luke's to actually make this happen. Now, luckily, we have a lot of really committed people here. We can see where the future is taking us to, and we're going to be ready for it.
If you have any connection to St. Luke's, you are part of a community that helps people give and receive hope every single day. By giving to the campaign, you are ensuring that that continues into the future.
Making room.
For the community.
For you.
For my family.
For those who need us. For the future.
So I hope that gives you a little bit of a glimpse into what we're doing and why we're doing it. And you know, I know one of the big questions that comes up as we talk about this here at Midtown is like, okay, we're talking about the North Campus. What does this mean for us? But I think that as we look at what we do as a collective church, we're so interconnected. When one place thrives, the other place thrives. We are here in our space because it was invested by the North Campus as our sending campus. And so this is an awesome opportunity for us to help bring these visions to life and to see how those things find their way here to our space. So we'll be talking about that over the next few weeks. But as we go into our scripture today, we're in the book of Mark. And we're looking at this story that shows us the lengths that some people will go to in order to make room. I think when you look at this story, you might call this the church's first construction project. It didn't have a great plan. It didn't have a lot of funding. But they were doing some construction. They were doing some demolition. They were doing whatever they could do to act in care in order for someone to connect with Jesus. And so as you heard in our scripture, we see that Jesus has come home, and there is so much buzz about him being back. They're like, Jesus is here. People have heard what he's been doing. They've heard the way that he's been healing people, and these friends have heard that too. So they show up with their friend who is paralyzed, who cannot move on his own accord, and they hope that maybe everything they've heard about Jesus is true, and maybe if they just show up, their friend will have a shot at getting healed. But obviously, when they get to Jesus, they encounter a problem very quickly. They can see Jesus, they can hear Jesus, but they can't quite get close to Jesus. They can't get their friend within arm's reach so that Jesus can do this healing that Jesus is known for. The crowd is too much for them to navigate. And so this is the point of the story, where these friends just could have given up. In fact, I would guess, the Bible doesn't tell me this, this is my reading into it, but I would guess there were actually quite a few people there that did give up that day, who came to see Jesus talk, who maybe wanted something from Jesus, and they looked around at the crowd and they were like, nope, nope, this isn't for me. Have you ever had that experience when you've been in a place you've really wanted to go somewhere? Maybe it's shopping, maybe it's somewhere really cool, and you see the crowd and you're like, I am out. So the friends could have done that. But if the friends had done that, we wouldn't be telling their story today. We wouldn't be having this conversation. And that's not what they did. Because for the friends that day, making room for healing meant going through the literal roof. So here's what the text tells us they did. It says, and when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. I mean, I just want you to imagine what this scene was like for the people who were there, okay? You got Jesus, he's teaching, everyone's gathered around him, and then all of a sudden you feel like a little piece of dirt hits you on the head. And then you've got, you know, hundreds of people that are just slightly confused, like, did I feel dirt? Why is there dirt? What is happening in this dwelling that we're in? And then all of a sudden, it's confirmed. Yes, I did feel the dirt. And now there's this dude being lowered through the roof right in front of Jesus in the middle of the crowd. And now everyone is watching this scene play out. Everyone is watching the care that these people had for their friend and the impact that it had. Everyone is watching them break down barriers and make room because they cared. And I think as we read this story and we think about our own lives and our own community, that might be the challenge for us, that we have the opportunity to make room for people because we care. Because when you care about people, when you care about stories, you're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that they are included. You're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that there's access, that there's safety, to make it possible for people to be welcomed and known and loved by Jesus. Now, when we do that, I'm not trying to paint a super rosy picture and say that there won't be obstacles. I mean, we see that in this story. We see that with this group of friends. There are plenty of obstacles in the way for them as they try to make room. I mean, there's the crowd that's stopping them from getting to Jesus. There's their friend's condition. There's the fact that they're going to just have to say, let's go for it and destroy someone's house. I mean, there's all this stuff. There's judgment that you see the Pharisees bring as the man gets lowered down. There's all this stuff going on. The obstacles are there. But even though there's obstacles, when care is part of the story, we can overcome those things that get in the way. We experienced this here at the Midtown campus last summer. So this is kind of an interesting building when you enter it, because when you enter the building, whether you come from the parking lot or you come from our north doors, what do you walk in on? Stairs. Yes, you walk in on a landing. And I don't know if this person is here today. If you are, hi. I overheard someone last week who was their first time. They walked in and they said, which way do I go? One of our greeters helped. Thank you, greeters. You're wonderful. But it's a little bit confusing. You walk in, you have to figure out which way you can go. And thankfully, we have an elevator. We have an elevator right there by our parking lot doors to make our building accessible. The thing is, it makes our building accessible to a point. Because you can either go up here to the sanctuary level, or you can go down to the fellowship and the kids level, aka it's where you get the donuts, right? It's very important. So you can go down to the donuts, but down there are these three pesky steps. I think we have a picture of them. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, if you've been downstairs, but there's these pesky steps. And when we first came into this building, we realized this. And some of us kind of fretted about these steps because we knew that because of these steps, you can't get to the bigger social area. You can't get to the main place that kids have their worship and their community time if you can't do stairs. And so a group of us kind of fretted about it, and we wondered about it, and we thought, how are we going to fund it? We know we need to do something about it. And it was one of those things that kind of woke me up in the middle of the night for a very long time, you know, those things. But we didn't have a clear answer. We knew that someday we had to do something about those stairs. And then one day, someday, became that day. Because one of the kids in our congregation, when she was out in the community doing her thing, she broke her leg. And suddenly we realized, oh, she can't get to the kids' space because there's no ramp. There's no way to navigate stairs if you have a broken leg. What are we going to do? And so what I watched happen is I watched our community spring into action. I watched our facilities lead. I watched our trustees come up with a plan. I watched our volunteer maintenance team spring into action and say, we're going to build this ramp. I watched us find the funding. I watched it get done so well and so thoughtfully. It felt like it had been in the plans forever. I watched us say, there's an obstacle here, but there's someone we care about more. I watched us use our care to make room. And you can see a couple of the pictures that we have now of the ramp. If you go down there on a Sunday, you can hear, this has also become our children's favorite thing to run up and down. So it had a dual purpose that we did not expect. But it's awesome because I got to see what happens when people come together and they act out of a place of caring. And I think the thing about making room is it's about physical space like that. And you're going to hear a lot about physical space over these next few weeks. But it's not just about that. It's also about making space in our hearts. There's this quote by John Ortberg where he says, you can only be loved to the extent that you're known. I'm pretty sure you've seen that be true in your life. I wonder for some of you when you come here if you don't feel like people know you, if you really feel loved in this place. I mean, our whole tagline here is, you belong here. And if you come here and you're like, yeah, but no one knows my name or my story or anything about me, it's hard to believe that. It's hard to believe that you belong. It's hard to believe that you're loved. And so as we're in this campaign to transform building spaces, we also want to do a little bit of transformation on our hearts. And so to illustrate this, I want to invite a couple friends up here. I want to invite Brandon and Rachel to come up and sit on this lovely yellow bench. I know some of you in the back, it might be a little bit hard to see, but they're going to sit on this bench. Over the next few weeks, you're going to see these two benches. One is already down in the donut area, right by where you get your name tag. One is going to be right out there by the making room display. And the idea of these benches is that you're going to sit on them. I know that is just groundbreaking. You're going to sit on these benches. But if you're sitting on these benches, the idea is not that you would sit on a bench with your bestie. It's that you'd sit on there and try to connect with someone you don't yet know. So Brandon and Rachel, they met, I think, really for the first time this morning. So we are integrity in this sermon illustration, okay? They just met this morning. But if they sat here together, they would find that they have a few things in common. If they talked to each other, that they would learn they both grew up outside the Indy area, around the Indy area. They're both teachers, and they both have a love of reading historical fiction. Nice. So when you sit with someone, when you get to know them, you don't have to share like the deepest thing of your whole life, right? But you can make a connection. Now when Brandon and Rachel show up at church, they will have another person that they know. They'll know another name. They'll know another face. They'll know another story. And that is how we create a sense of belonging and inclusion. So I want to encourage you, even if you're like, I am the biggest introvert in the world. Don't make me talk to strangers. The yellow bench is a tool, my friends. You can have a short and sweet conversation. You can get to know someone. So can we say thank you to Brandon and Rachel for being my example this morning? Thank you, friends. You know, when we start to care about people and their stories, whether it's like the big stuff or the everyday stuff, what we do is we start to get more personally involved. We move from just being these really casual, empathetic bystanders to actually having our well-being tied up with someone else's. Because if we look at the example of these people who bring their friend to Jesus, I mean, their well-being is deeply linked with his. They take risks for him. They break through someone's roof so that he'll be healed. They risk making the Pharisees mad. They don't know really how Jesus is going to respond. I mean, they do all of this stuff in order to create this space for this person. And when they do that, it has a bigger impact on just the man who's getting healed. It impacts them. It impacts the crowd. What this does is they move from just allowing someone's presence to actually being transformed by someone's presence. Do you hear the difference there? Because it's really significant. When we allow people to be in our midst, I mean, that's nice. But when we let ourselves be transformed by the people who are around us, that feels holy to me. That feels like Jesus. That feels like the kingdom of God happening on earth. I saw how this could happen at the church that I served in Pasadena. So this church was a smaller church. It was on a residential street, kind of similar to this one. And probably six houses down, there was a group home for adult women who had developmental disabilities. And almost every Sunday, these women would walk down the street and they'd come to church. They'd sit on the left-hand side in about the second or third row. And every Sunday, these women would pray. Now, this was a church where we did something called Prayers of the People. Has anyone been to a church that does Prayers of the People? Okay, how this works is the person leading says a short prayer at the beginning, and then they just turn it loose to whoever wants to pray. I love it. It also can get a little wild. I'm going to be honest with you. And so we would do prayers of the people, and the women from that home who would sit in the second or third row, they would always pray. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. One of my main jobs was to lead prayers of the people on a Sunday morning. There were times when this was really uncomfortable, and I didn't know how to navigate it. There were times when we couldn't always understand the words that they were saying. There were times when they would pray for a really long time, and I didn't know, do I try to like graciously wind this down? Do I let the Spirit do its work? Like, how do we handle this? But here's what I came to realize. There would be the rare week that these women didn't come to church. There would be the rare week that maybe they came and they didn't say a prayer out loud. And when we didn't have their voices in that space, the congregation felt it. People would ask, where are they? What's going on? We miss their prayers today. I watched a congregation be transformed by the people in its midst. I watched a congregation say yes to people praying, even if it was hard to engage with, even if they didn't know what was going on, because what they knew is that God was at work. What they knew is that the Holy Spirit was speaking through these women and their prayers, and we needed that. It wasn't that they needed us, we needed them. You know, I think we miss something when we don't make room like that. We miss the chance to experience God in ways that we might not experience any other way. That church I told you about in Pasadena, it was right next to my seminary. 75% of the people at that church had been to seminary, okay? They knew a lot about God. They had a lot of information. They would have missed something without those prayers. They would have missed something without those experiences. Friends, we miss something when we don't experience each other and what we bring to the community. And so I think my prayer for us over the next few weeks is that we wouldn't miss it. My prayer for us is that we'd be like the friends in this story, who even when we encounter obstacles, Even when we see the reasons that we shouldn't engage or we're feeling a little bit apprehensive, I pray that we would be like the friends and say, let's rip open the roof. Because it's worth it to let people know that they are known and loved and that Jesus sees them and that there is a place for them here at St. Luke's. So that's what I want to invite us to do, is to have that kind of trust, to have that kind of vision, and to be a church that's committed to making room and doing what God is calling us to do alongside the God who is doing amazing things. Let's pray together. God, we want to be those people who take risks, those people who make room, those people who care in ways that sometimes feel foolish. People who can see your vision for things that we couldn't even believe could be better. God, help us have your heart toward others, the people who are already in our midst and the people we haven't met yet. Help us take your kind of action and help us know, God, that your grace and your spirit goes with us as we do that work.